Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own well-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. The One Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office at 949-723-0338 to sign up. Also, please feel free to check out our website, www.drpatallen.com. And also, before we get started, please write the call-in number down so you can get answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number and also enter this number in your phone so it doesn't go to spam. So we have Kelly Ward with us and Dr. Pat Allen with us. Are you on, ladies?
I'm here. Dr. Pat, are you there?
I'm certainly here waiting for my first question.
Okay, well, here's what we have for the very first question, Dr. Pat.
We need to hear
the five paragraphs of your famous and super effective hi bye letter.
Yes. What do you want me to do? Describe it?
I want you to tell me what the five paragraphs are, Dr. Pat.
I'm going to give it to you right now. This letter is written in order to build a bridge with somebody that is emotionally in trouble with you. You want to connect. The first paragraph is everything you like about this person, period. The second paragraph is that you have something to say that is sensitive, and are they willing to listen? The third paragraph, pardon?
Yes, I'm understanding.
Good. The third paragraph is, when would be the most convenient time for them to listen? Because if they're uptight, they're not going to hear what you're saying. That is the third tool. I call them tools. The fourth tool is one which is picked up by 95% of all human beings physically, but not verbally. It's tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions. And you say to them or write to them, I sense by the look on your face, your body language, you're upset about something. Am I right? And what they say is yes or no, or they don't say anything. You say, what can I do to help you and I talk to each other? And the last tool is when they listen, when they write a response, and you say to them, I so appreciate your listening to what I had to say, and even maybe giving me ideas about the questions, what can I do to help you and I feel better? That's good for women especially. Or what can I do to help you and I do better? Husband, son, father, boyfriend. Those are the five paragraph tools that I teach everyone if they talk to me and or if they write, they read my book. It's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe by Dr. Pat Allen.
Excellent, Dr. Pat. What? Thank you so much for that information. There's been a lot of people asking about that, and so now we have those answers.
I want you to carry messages from my brain, my heart, to the people I want to leave a message with. Please, I'll do this every Friday for a few minutes.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. We're so glad you were on with us tonight. We appreciate you and we love you, and so does everyone else.
Good. Call again.
All right. We'll be back with you next week. Bye-bye.
Good.
Let's see. If we have any callers that want to call in, it's 323-203-0815. She just went through all the tools that she described to us. I think the high by letter, that's part of it. And she just went over the tools, the communication tools. Kelly, do you have anything to say?
I think that it was nice to hear from Dr. Pat tonight, and those tools are really important. What do you have to say about the high by letter, Sue?
The high by letter that I think Dr. Allen did her tools instead of the high by. The high by letter, let me see here. It's like if somebody, you're unhappy or they went away or you disrespected a man and you want to make amends, what you do is the first paragraph, you write everything you like or love about him. The second one, you write about the pain that you had with them. The third one, you write down what you never want again in any relationship. The fourth paragraph, you write down what you do want in a relationship. And the fifth one, you can either say, thank you for this painful lesson so I never have to repeat it again. Or if you disrespected them and you want to open the door for them to come back, you could say, I made an amends. I'd want to work this out with you. And that way it helps the other party be able to come back and work it out with you. This is after the 8 weeks when a man has gone away for 8 weeks. You send this letter to see if he's really gone or to keep the door open for him to come back. Is that the experience you've had, Kelly?
Yeah, that's definitely the experience I've had. And it also, I've used the high by letter sort of. Sometimes I've written one and not sent it. It's very cathartic in figuring out their part in the end or ruination of the experience of the relationship, but also for you to own your part in the demise as well. I think that's one of the problems we have are people, they want to point and say, well, they did this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, two baddies don't make a goodie.
And also, like when it's got the 8 weeks where the man goes away for 8 weeks, the ladies can write this and then send it to the man at the end of 8 weeks. And it's kind of like you said, it's releasing so they can get all their feelings out of what they loved in the relationship, what hurt them, what they want in a relationship. And also they'll miss the person, but they understand the lesson that they learned. So they never repeat it again. So it's also very healing as far as the ladies learning lessons so they can do better the next relationship. Remember, Dr. Allen says, learn the lesson so you never have to repeat it again. And the lessons are very painful. And, but once you learn them once, you rarely want to keep continuing them. unless you like to continue them and you never learn the lesson and want to keep repeating it over and over again. I have a few of those ladies too.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And like I was saying, in my own personal experience, I've used the high by letter as a tool for me to go, like, you know, after that initial thing of this person did this and that, where you say to yourself, like, where was my responsibility? You know, how did I not communicate well? How can I fix that so that I don't have to experience this again? Which is, you know, part of getting the lesson.
That's true. Most people, they want to point the finger at what they did instead of look within on what they did to contribute. Remember, it always takes two. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a great tool. I think it's one of the best.
Yes, it is. And with that, I also want to tell the audience out there that we do have the monthly ongoing ladies groups. We have a group starting again in July. There are a few seats open since the July is not starting till I think after the 4th of July. So there is a few days to join. Dr. Allen, I believe, has a couple of seats. Kelly has a couple of seats, and I have a couple of seats available. They're ongoing once a week for 4 weeks. You can contact me at the office at info@drpatallen.com or 949-723-0338. Do you have any questions? Did anybody write you in any questions, Kelly, before we get started?
One of the big ones was the high buy letter. And one of the questions that they seem to keep asking is, when is it appropriate? Is it only for romantic relationships, or can it be for a different kind of relationship, a friendship, a parent-child relationship, or at work?
I've never done it for anybody else because it's basically more of an intimate type of a letter. But I guess you could probably format it if you want to do it with a friend. I would say with a friend, you basically just want to do Dr. Allen's stroke and stand. Where you?
Yeah, I think Amigo Talk is another one that's underused, under-discussed.
I think the Amigo Talk is, though, for a male and female. You bring the two energies because you switch the roles.
Right, but I think maybe at work, you might want to use that sometimes.
Well, everybody's masculine at work, so you really can't go into feminine and ask them how they feel.
I also think what's interesting is Dr. Allen had one of her ladies write a high-by letter to her sister.
Ooh, how did that go?
I thought it was really cool because there had been, you know how families can be. So there had been a breakdown in the relationship between the two sisters. And the girl and the sister were able to work it out after the high by letter. The sister responded. So I think you can manipulate it and form it for that. I don't know if it would work well with a parent-child situation. You know? But I think with friends or with siblings, it seemed to work well.
Yes, it probably would if you wanted to explain a lot of baggage. If it's just one or two issues, then probably just the stroke and stand would probably be enough. You tell them.
It was interesting because one of the parents had passed, and that's kind of what caused the rift. So there was sort of some deep stuff going on there. But very interesting, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so I have another lady who wants to know about, she feels that her mate has been chatting up with other women on the internet and having internet sexual interaction with them. She feels like it's cheating. And she's very uncomfortable with it. She's not sure how to approach.
Isn't that considered emotionally unavailable? You're not cheating.
I think it is definitely emotional. Yeah.
Because he's spending his time and energy on a different level rather than friends.
If it's well, this woman feels like that he's actually, in her mind, it's cheating. It's full-on actual infidelity. Because sharing secrets, his hopes, his dreams, and those things that you would share with your mate, with somebody who is a disembodied whatever.
What is she doing about it?
She's not sure what to do. That's her question. What can she do? How can she confront
him? Well, that's where she has to go in and do the stroke and stand. We're going and say, I have something uncomfortable I want to talk to you about. And then she says, you know, I noticed that you have an internet buddy that you're becoming very close to on a level that I'm seeing as more than friendship. I'm not comfortable because it takes away time from you and me, and I think you're sharing our personal information. What do you think about limiting the time with her or not doing that at all? Not having her, not corresponding with her at all, unless I'm on the chat as well.
Oh, very interesting. That I think that would definitely kibosh the, the internet intimacy, if you will.
Well, everybody likes it. You know, I think some people on those dating sites, they like just the excitement of getting texts and emails. They don't really want to meet. It's like hearing the ding on the phone or opening up the computer to a secretive, you know, it's cyber type lovemaking or whatever it's called. A lot of people like that nowadays.
Yeah, but the question is it infidelity?
I wouldn't want it. I think if you're meeting somebody, you're still dating them, whether it's in person or on the internet.
I agree. I feel it is infidelity. Yeah. And
it's not infidelity as far as they're taking it to a level of sexual where they're being truly, it's a form of intimacy.
Well, it has got, and this is actually the third lady that's emailed something along these lines, where they feel cheated on, and they feel...
Well, when they confront the guy, what does the gentleman say? Or do they just sneak up and see him doing it and do not confront him?
Well, one of the ladies, actually, they share a computer, but and he always wipes his browsing history.
Well, then that's secretive. That's one of those games of secretive.
Yeah, so this time he forgot to wipe the browsing history. Now, there's another question for you.
Well,
did he forget to wipe the browsing history?
If he's doing it secretively, there's something going on. If he can't show it and have it be available to his girlfriend or wife, you know that it's at a different level of friendship.
Well, some of the language that he was using was pretty graphic and had deeply sexual overtones. So, and of course, these people have been married. This particular couple has been married for 7 years. What do we know about that?
This internet, remember the day when they had phone sex? It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's no different. You're getting the intimacy another way. So best that this lady confront him, because he may not be getting intimacy the way he wants it at home. So he's seeking it elsewhere. And it's rather than going out and getting it personal, he's getting it online.
It's interesting because she said that their sex life has suffered over the last 6 months. Because when he comes to bed or whenever, you know, they're alone together and it might become intimate, it doesn't.
Well, if this is one of your ladies, are you coaching them on maybe some communication tools?
We have gone over the communication tools and setting the appointment for an uncomfortable conversation. However, he just shakes his head and says, I'm not doing anything. But we know that he is. So then there's a question. What do you do with the person you're dealing with?
Well, then you're not doing the whole tools very well because you have to take it to the end. It sounds like she's just asking him a question if he's on there doing that. She already knows he is.
No, she actually confronted him that he was. And
did she ask him? Did she ask him, I want you, it would make me comfortable if you not if you get yourself off. And then guess what she has to do? Give him the price. What is she willing to do? Divorce him, move in the other room? You have to give a price for that behavior.
Yeah. So
the price and price, he can say no forever, but she's got to be willing to put a price tag on it.
Well, the problem I think that she's having is he's gaslighting her. In other words, he's saying, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't hear she's putting a price tag and setting her own healthy boundaries. He can gaslight her, but if she doesn't set healthy boundaries, he can gaslight or ignore her or whatever, all he wants.
Yeah, well, that's what I told her. You've got to give him the price. You have to lay down your bright line rule, which says, if you continue to do this, I'm going to, or I'll stay as long as I can, but it's getting to the edge.
Yes, and then she has to decide, because he may not want to, you know, he does not have to get off of it, but he may lose her if he continues, and maybe that's what he wants, and we don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. If it was me, I would be unhappy with that, and it would not be acceptable. That is not something I would tolerate.
That's for sure. There's a lot of that going on now because, you know, people, they don't want to. It's hard to go out and meet people now. Everybody's stuck to their phone and computers. There's no meeting people in real life, very seldom. It seems like I have a lot of ladies, they don't like doing the online dating and they don't like going out in places. And I'm like, well, I don't know where you're going to find these men.
That's interesting.
I tell them to go to the gym. I don't see any, you know, it's always a list of no men anywhere. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you anymore.
Yeah, one of my girlfriends said the same thing. Well, I don't want to go do this and I don't want to go do that. And I hate online dating. I said, I guess you think that the UPS man's going to come knock on the door and he's going to be Prince Charming with your package and a date. I said, that's not happening. Yes. And then the other thing I find is that a lot of these women, they want a particular kind of men, but they're not willing to present and hunt in a specific area or place. Like, for example, I had a girl come to me and say, well, you know, I want a manly man, like a cowboy type of man. And I'm like, well, where are you searching? Well, you're not finding a cowboy in Century City. Like, that's not a thing, you know?
No, you're a businessman, the majority.
Right, you're going to find a businessman. I'm like, your hunting grounds are wrong. If you're looking for a cowboy, you need to be going to rodeos. You need to be going to hay rides. You need to be going line dancing.
Or racetrack, you know, sports track, you know, where they do the car racing. The race car track type thing.
Yeah. And I said, you know, when you are looking for a particular, I said, for example, if you want a Honda, you're not going to the Mercedes dealership. Like, there's no Mercedes Benz at the Honda dealer and vice versa. You're looking for a pickup truck. You're not going to go to the Volkswagen dealership. There's no pickup trucks there.
Yeah.
So I think that they have this thing where they're like, they're tied in, they're locked into where they hunt. Well, I went to Starbucks. There's no cowboys at Starbucks.
Starbucks is actually probably a good place to meet people, though. But I don't know if people know how to, the ladies, invite the men over. You know, you have to be approachable, which is inviting. That's the stare them for, 3 to 5 seconds? You have to look them in the eyes and smile to invite them into your space. And a lot of women are afraid to do that. Dr. Allen has that movie, Duty Dating, which you can Google, and it's free on YouTube, I believe. That's a cute book. It's a little outdated. It's from the 1990s. But the material is still very good for ladies that want to learn how to duty date, which is duty dating, just to let you know, is not just about going through and going out as many dates. Oh, we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Can we take a question for you?
Yeah, this is the lady with the widower.
Oh, yes. How are you?
Okay. I'm fine. How are you both?
Good. What's going on?
Well, it seems like we took 10 steps backward.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Yeah. He's withdrawn. he did call yesterday. He said, we were supposed to get together last Sunday, and he didn't call to confirm or anything like that. And I just let it slide because I feel him withdrawing even before that. So he called last week. He called yesterday, and he just talked about, you know, what are you doing for the weekend? I don't have any plans. And then he, you know, chit-chat. Then he said, well, we have to see each other. We have to get together. That's what he said. And so I said, okay. And that was it. He didn't make any definitive plans. But last week, last Saturday, he went to his niece's wedding, and he called me from the car. He was in his truck. Uh-huh. And we were talking, you know, he called, and we were just chit-chatting, nothing specific. And then his brother came up and said, heard me, and he said, you know, Bob is coming. So I said, hey, Bob. And he said, hi, Geneva. My name is not Geneva.
Oh. So
he said it with such enthusiasm. Hi, Geneva. And my friend corrected him and said my name. And then he didn't say anything. And so then the widower said, well, I'll call you back. And, of course, he took, you know, days to call me back.
Yeah. And did he tell you who Geneva was? Yeah.
Nope. I didn't bring it up, and neither
okay.
did he.
Okay.
And so I didn't bring it up because we've never talked about the nature of our relationship.
Okay.
He said that he didn't know how he felt about me.
Okay.
He didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I call that dating leverage. I said, I don't have any. I don't have any dating leverage with this man. So I didn't ask about Geneva.
Okay. That's good.
So, So now it's gone back to, you know, once a week calls and stuff like that, and very loosey stuff like friendships, like we were friends.
Well, when and he so- calls, yeah, when he calls, are you inviting him in to want, are you inviting with your words, like if he calls?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, hey, Bernard, how are you? Thank you for calling me.
Do you say things like, do you say things like, I miss you?
I have. And he said, well, I said that last week.
Okay.
Because he said we were going to get together.
Yes.
And before we got really into the conversation, I was like, I miss you. He's like, I miss you too. And then the day came and he never said anything about it.
Like, I miss you, looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Did you invite
him?
No,
I didn't say I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, lead it into seeing him this weekend.
Mm-mm, I didn't say all of that. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that might have been a booster of help too. We can't always, you know, men are very flawed as well. They can't remember to say and do everything. So a lot of times the woman, she has to have the her femininity to invite the man into her space.
Okay.
So that might have helped. And then, yes, you're unfortunately, you really can't bring up who that is. You actually act like it's like nothing happened, because I think he senses that there's the tension. So it's like there's an elephant in the corner.
Mm.
Are you maybe projecting that in your energy, whether you're talking, you may be shut down and not talking as vibrant as you used to?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, when he called you, what was said this last time after the whole mix-up?
Well, he had gone to his hometown an hour and a half away and volunteered with this youth organization at his home church. So I asked about that and how the turnout was. And I complimented him like a stroke. I said that he was, I asked if he said anything, because sometimes people speak and he said he didn't. I said, well, you don't have to speak.
Yeah.
Hmm?
And then
I said, you don't have
to. Okay.
I said, you don't have to speak because your energy is very manly and strong.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, oh, yeah. Yeah, like you said, no, I didn't speak. And he seemed to be, you know, pleased that I said he was manly and strong and that his energy was such that he doesn't have to say anything.
Yes.
And I asked if he was working in town, and he told me he was. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what else to do.
I'm like, okay.
Well, at that time, did you say, I miss you, looking forward to seeing you? At that conversation, did you say any of those two sentences?
Nope. I didn't
then
say
that.
I said, you know, we talked, so he called me on a that was a Saturday. No, that was this week.
But what you're talking about is just chit-chatting. You didn't become vulnerable and inviting.
Right. Okay, so what do you suggest I do now?
You can't do anything yet, but when he calls you the next time, be more open and vulnerable. Oh, it's so good to hear you. I haven't seen you in a while. I miss seeing you.
Okay.
Be open and inviting to let him, you know, it's called being vulnerable.
Okay.
You know, I haven't seen you in a while. I miss seeing your roughly manly, you know, your strong masculine energy. You get to share how you're feeling centered.
Okay.
So you can share your feelings. I don't want you to bark it. You know, you never see me anymore. You can't say that, but you can invite him and tell him how you feel, like you miss him, and you know you miss seeing his roughly, you know, his masculine, manly presence.
Okay.
And you just, that's about all you can do until he picks up and decides to ask you out. You're just inviting him into your space as best you can.
Okay.
Kelly, do you have any other, would you have any suggestions for her?
I think you're right on the money, Sue. I think all she can really do is present, but I do think she has to be more open and vulnerable when he does talk to her. I do think she needs to initiate saying, oh yeah, I miss you. I'd love to see you. And he says, oh, we have to see each other. I'd say, great. I've got some time next week.
Yes, being open, inviting about that. That's what it's called, inviting the man.
Especially because if he's older, then he's going to wonder, does she have time for me? Does she really want to see me? If she wanted to see me, she might say something like, oh, you want to get together again? Great. When would that be?
Yeah. Two people may be sitting there waiting for the other one to make some kind of a move.
Okay. I can do that. I just didn't know, like, because I felt like doing that might be masculine. That's one of the reasons why I didn't do it.
You cannot lead by, hey, let's go out Friday night. You can't lead. But you can invite. There's a difference between leading and inviting.
Okay. I think I got it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So just to repeat what you said.
Okay.
You said that when he says, you know, we have to get together.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello? Oh.
Okay. Okay. So. Okay, just
you're cutting out. You're mirroring back what we said, but I can't hear it.
Oh. Okay. I'm trying to cut off the internet thing. Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes. To make sure I understand what you said. So, if he says, "Yeah, we have to get together. We have to see each other soon, or we have to see each other." Then I say, yes, it would be great, or something like that. It's great.
It would make me happy. Feeling centered, feeling statement.
It would make me happy. Okay, let me write this down. Hold on.
Women talk about their feelings.
Okay. Okay. Okay, it would make me happy
to get together and see you. I'm open and available almost every day next week. Or you list the days. Looking forward to seeing you again.
Okay. Okay, got it.
You might say, remember when women lure men in with their 5-second eye flirt? You're doing the same thing, inviting him to come over and ask you out, but on the telephone.
Okay, got you.
You're not technically saying, hey, you're not asking for a date, but you're luring him in that you're interested in him asking you for a date. As if you're looking at him across the room, you're inviting him to come over to your space.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so the leading thing is that he says we have to get together or see each other soon or something along those lines. Then I can come in with, it would make me happy to get together next week. Okay, I think I got it.
Is that usually how does he usually call you?
Hey, lady. What's going on? How you doing? What do you say? And I, hey, whatever his name is. Hey, how are you?
Then you say, yeah, good to hear from you.
And thank you for calling, you know, towards the end.
Yes, okay, then you're doing all that. Those are inviting things. Okay, those are all good.
Whew.
I'm sorry, you have to just be patient and see what happens. Are you going out trying to date other men as well, or are you staying just with one man?
No, I have a matchmaking company. They sent me on some dates. And
oh, good. And how is that going?
Not well.
Why not?
I discovered that they are not showing my pictures to my matches. And as a result, it's making me feel not good. You know, like I'm walking up to men. I know what they look like. They don't know what I look like. They're frowning at me. They're like, who is this person walking up to me? You know, they just look disappointed. And that's not a good feeling, you know.
Oh, that's not a good feeling. Does the matchmaker say she doesn't put your picture up?
She did. Like, I have a contract for 12 dates, no matter how long it takes. So it's been 2 years.
Okay.
And so I didn't find out that these men didn't see my pictures until I was on date 6 or 7. Uh-oh. And that's been recently, because I had my 7th or 8th date last 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him if he had seen my pictures, and he said no. And he did the same thing, looking at me crazy and with a little furrowed brow. I'm like, okay, I'm obviously not these men's type physically.
Yeah.
But the agency, now they're telling me, well, we only send you on matches. Oh, people who have not paid for their membership do not receive pictures.
Oh.
Meanwhile, I've paid top of the line for the membership, and now they're telling me this 6-7 dates in. It's like, so you mean to tell me I've gone on 7 6 7 dates, and I was wondering why these men were looking at me like I'm crazy.
Oh, wow. That's
never
not
getting
good.
A compliment. And I'm doing my best to look really good.
Yeah.
So never getting a compliment. Never. I mean, it's not even a second. Maybe one guy invited me on, maybe two people invited me on a date, a return date. And it's like, okay, I'm canceling the contract because this is just not fair. It's not anything that you wrote in your contract to let me know.
Yes.
That these things were happening. This is how you do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm 62. I'm black. I have short hair. It's natural. You know, I don't fit into any kind of beauty standard.
What about, you sound like you go to the church. What about going online and doing a church organization where you get like-minded people that are, you know, church-oriented?
I don't understand when you say go to a church. Like, go
There's dating sites that are, like, for church. They're different
Christian singles and Christian singles.
Or even check out churches in your area that have a singles group. They do that where they meet and do things like once a week.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to do those things. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, yeah, I can only do stuff for so much rejection.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, you got to get into, that will boost your ego down.
So anyway, so I'm dating. I like this guy, but I realize, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. So I get it. Mm-hmm.
But when he makes you happy, then that's when other guys like you too. That's when you're most attractable. Is when you're happy, you're attractive to other people. So if now's the time to hit the iron and try and get they always say when you have a boyfriend, all the other guys want you. But when you're single, they don't. They go away until the minute you get a boyfriend. It's because of your energy you send out. So we have got to get your energy built up that you're valuable.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on it. I got some projects to do around the house and something to keep me occupied and in my energy and stuff.
He's not gone. Uh-huh. You know what? What you think about comes about. Stay positive. That's all. Yeah. That's the only information I can help you with is what you think about comes about. Stay positive.
Yes.
Send it out to the universe.
So where are you hunting? Where are you hunting for men?
Like the question is like, where was I hunting? I was hunting for men at upscale restaurants, sitting at the bar. I do the 5-second flirt technique in Dr. Allen's book, and dress femininely and just, be pleasant and smile. And men are, I get their attention. They smile, open doors and stuff like that. But, I'm a mature woman. So I think I look younger for my age, but still, that's as far as it goes. I feel like it's just a seed for me to just learn and practice and implement what I'm learning.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm doing. I was on YouTube, and there's this Jewish rabbi who talks about marriage and dating today and his take on it. And what he said was, you have to be in love with marriage, the whole idea and the reality of it. And it's not just about, loving a person, because that's a thing about a person, but you have to be, willing to do the work in the context of marriage. And then he said, when you go on dates, just ask them, do you want to be married? And if they say no, then don't go on any more dates with them. But if they do, then continue to explore.
Yes.
So I've never done that before, because women are socialized like, well, if you do that, then you'll run them away. And the rabbi says, well, good. Run them away.
Yeah, then he wasn't the man. Why waste your time, too?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I always tell the ladies, you don't necessarily ask them if they want to get married. You make it, I want to be married in the next couple of years. You talk about what you want.
Okay.
Instead of asking them, you just say, I just want to let you know a little bit about me. I'm looking for marriage in the next couple of years. Then you ask are you looking for marriage, or why are you on the dating sites or whatever?
Right. Okay.
And definitely in your profile, if you are dating online or looking for people online, you need to put what your parameters are. Like, I'm looking for a long-term, committable, monogamous relationship leading to marriage. Because here's the thing. It's like the old story in the Bible of separating the wheat from the tares. You don't burn down the whole field. You harvest the field for the wheat, and then you burn the tares. So, you got to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the best way to do that is to be super honest about what you're looking for. Because, in this swipe left, swipe right world, then you won't get involved with somebody who's, looking for a hookup.
Right. True.
Right. Okay.
Well, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully you'll have better news for us next week.
Yes, 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 yes.
We'll send it out there. Send good intentions out. He's coming back to take wine and dine you.
Well, I feel like that, really, honestly.
Good. That's
he'll be back.
You have to embody that feeling. Embody it in your whole body. You have to feel it.
Okay.
So I'll work on it.
He's still getting over the dead wife as well. So that could be part of this cycling back and forth.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, he did say, this is like maybe a month ago or two months ago. He did say, you know, I know that you're good for me. I don't know what in context we would talk. I can't remember. But that's what he said. He said, I know that you're good for me. So, you know, I'm going to just hang in there with it and keep and look at others, too.
That's a good positive message.
But keep throwing your hat to the ring and keep looking for others today.
I will. Yes.
Yeah, call us back next week and let us know how it goes.
Okay, I will. Thank you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
You're very welcome.
Good luck, darling.
Yes. That's got to be hard, but it happens. Yeah.
Well, I think that part of the problem when you are dealing with newly divorced, newly widowed, there's always going to be that thing where they like pull back, you know, like I call it, you know, have you ever seen a horse that sees a snake?
Yeah. It's called, they're shy, gun shy. Like, isn't that called gun shy?
Yeah, so it makes it difficult. And so sometimes I think it takes them, what I call is like, you know, they're reeling the fish in, but then the fish starts fighting. So you know how they let go of it, and then all of a sudden you see it like the fish starts swimming away, but the reel's still connected. You know, that's where they're at. They're like, okay, I like this. Oh no, I'm scared, you know, and I don't think that they maybe realize they're scared, but, you know, it's hard. It's hard for people, especially for people that have just been, you know, had been in a long, very long-term relationship.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, like losing a spouse or whatever. That's got to be rugged for him, too.
Yes. And he's probably getting back out in the dating world. It's probably hard for him, too. It's out of his comfort zone, maybe.
Yep. But she's been sticking to it. I think a lot of ladies.
She's a trooper.
Yeah. I think a lot of ladies would just be like, nope, I'm done.
Yes. And I have a lot of ladies that are widowers and they have nice gentlemen, but because they're not able to move on either. Even when the guys date them, even a couple of months, they don't want to push it. I don't know. You know, I mean, everybody has a right to have a time frame, but if you want to build a relationship, there's got to be a progression. You know, a man can't wait 3 years for you to get over your ex-husband or your deceased husband. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Say, oh, I've been, you know, my husband died 5 years ago and I'm not ready, you know, to be intimate or move on as fast as he wants.
I think that at 5 years, then that's difficult. It's like, are you ever going to be ready? Probably
not.
Yeah,
that's true. I kind of thought that too. I could say, isn't it like a year or two grieving and then you got to kind of test the waters and get out there?
Well, I think you have to take off your mourning gear. And I don't think there's ever a set time when you get over losing somebody that you love. However, the pain, you have to work toward letting the pain go. There's nothing do to change the situation. They're not coming back.
Yes.
So it's not like you broke up with somebody and you could write them a hi bye letter and they come back. This person's not coming back. And if they do, that's a horror film. Okay.
What about the other person that's going out with somebody that they've gone out, you know, 2 months, and the lady says, "I need time," and he's like, "Well, I don't want to get hurt. Do you want to build?" And she's like, "Yes, but it's going to take me time."
I think that somewhere inside of ourselves, we have an internal clock.
Yeah.
And I think it depends on the person that you're engaged with respect to dating and such. And then you say to yourself if this person is 51% valuable or not. If they're not, you're wasting time. You know, and Dr. Pat talks about that whole wasting time ideology about, you know, they were engaged for 7 years. You know, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, that's the same thing. So if you're dating somebody and they're taking you out and the guy wants to move it forward and you're saying, well, I've not been in a relationship for so long. You know, it's like we can't be, he doesn't, you know, he can't wait till maybe 5 years when you're ready. That's like the same thing as when the women stay with men that someday they're going to get engaged.
Yeah, someday they're going to get married. On both sides of it.
Yeah, it's both sides. Anyway, we're coming to a close of our show. We hope to have everybody back next week. And I just want to tell the audience, please stay tuned to 5 o'clock. Patricia Eltidge is doing her dream interpretation class. So please stay tuned to LA Talk Radio for the 5 o'clock. It's called Your Dream Life. Stay tuned and have your dreams interpreted. Kelly, do you have anything to say to the audience?
We love you. Happy Independence Day. Mwah. Bye-bye.
Oh, please feel free to, you can write in your questions if you don't want to go live, and I'm happy to answer them on the station, and you can listen to them on the archives. We always answer questions like that as well. And we hope to see you next week for some questions, and we'll have Dr. Allen back. If you want any questions from Dr. Allen, please feel free to email me as well. So thank you, folks. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.